welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love that no one in Ethan's family immediately sold merch after he was tragically killed. Hi.
Dead. We're keeping that. No,
okay,
that's
we're
perfect.
Keeping it. I wasn't sure if that was too juicy, but I thought it was topical.
No, I mean, we could be talking about anything.
We could be talking about anything. We happen to be discussing a book where someone was tragically shot before his time. And as far as I know, the chapters we have read so far, none of his loved ones seem to have sold merch that happened. No. So I'd really like to thank them for showing that restraint. I'm Bethany, everyone. With me as always is Michael Ann. Michael, how you doing?
Do you think they had pyrotechnics at Ethan's funeral?
At his memorial? Golly. I'd like to hope probably not, but I could be so wrong on that.
You never know.
We weren't there in New Jersey for the funeral, so maybe. Maybe. I doubt it, though. I doubt it. I don't think that that's probably what occurred.
Thank God he wasn't a husband with a wife.
Yeah. Yeah. He just left behind his girlfriend. So I guess sad for her. You know, she seems great. We love Luna, obviously. But not the same. It's not nearly as tragic because he didn't have a wife and kids or anything.
No. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, screw his parents that he left behind, right, and his girlfriend and all his friends that went to the Lexi Navigator show with him. They're not as important.
They're not as important, and if they get shot in school, it's kind of like
you know,
another day, I guess.
What can you do about it? What could you possibly do? I'm just gonna say, y'all, of all the times to be reading the school shooting book. We've been reading this for a long time. But again, since we've started reading the school shooting book, it just every day gets more and more topical. And I'm tired of that. I would like to be done reading the school shooting book. And that is no discredit to our queen, Sarah Dessen, who wrote a beautiful novel, a very poignant novel of grief and you know, whatever, and moving on from grief and whatnot. But I was just like, sweet Jesus, this book. It's hard, but here we are. Here we are. We're doing it. We're still reading it. We are getting there. We have two new chapters coming your way today. Hope everyone's thriving. A lot has happened since we last recorded. And
yes.
Not to be Nostradamus, but we kind of call.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. Our government probably did something terrible. And I was right. But that's how easy it is to call these days, that people in our government are probably doing something terrible. And again, when I say our government, I mean like me and Mike Land's government, which is the United States of America. I don't want to make it be that we are USA-centric. Because I know we do have some listeners from other countries, but shit's going on everywhere. And y'all obviously are super aware of our nation trying to take away our First Amendment rights recently or continuously. And we just want to say thank you for all the support out there from other countries. That sounds like a lot of people were like ready to, you know, talk with their money and cancel certain big mouth subscriptions and stuff, and that may have helped. So cool. We appreciate you all out there in other countries. Scandinavia, we'd love to come live there if you're willing to take
We'll take a visa whenever you want to give that to us.
We're ready and willing.
We are ready. Don't even worry about it.
We're so ready. I'm going to not be able to handle the colds, but eventually I think I'd get used to it. It'd be fine.
You'd get used to it eventually.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like everything, it would be worth it for everything else great that they've got going on there. Okay, Michael Ann, how are you?
I'm here. Thriving. I'm alive.
I'm alive. That's all you can ask for some days. That's true. I'm alive.
Delicious Dutch Bros. If any of our listeners have ever been to Dutch Bros, sound off. I'm always like, sound off in the cut. Nobody ever does, except for that our one friend, Jackie. Yeah.
Jackie sounds off in the comments, and we appreciate you, Jackie.
Yes.
Everyone, be more like Jackie.
Yes. Give us comments.
We're here for comments. Gosh. Thank you.
My short-term memory is trash.
Dutch Bros? You
Dutch Bros.
Yes. If you've had it, let us know.
Let us know. It's so good. I waited like literally 45 minutes in line for this, and it was worth it. It's the kicker.
I was gonna say, what flavor did you get?
It's the kicker. It's Irish cream.
Ooh, okay, that sounds good.
It's got oat milk in it because I'm an oat milk girly.
Yes,
I love bisexual. That's,
is that a trait? Does that mean I'm one step closer to being bisexual? My love for
oat milk. You're one step closer.
Yes. Okay. All right. Excited. I like of the milks. Okay. Cow milk is like probably my least fave. Yeah. I enjoy an almond milk, but I think oat milk is my favorite. Like I don't mind an almond milk. So the first ever like I was going to say fake milk. It's not real milk, but like milk from a nut that I ever had was almond milk. And so for a while I was like, yeah, this is what's up. And then I had oat milk and I was like, oh, wait a minute. Sorry, almond milk. You are no longer needed here. Obviously, if I go to a coffee place and all they have is almond milk, I'll take it. But I think oat milk is superior. Let's be honest about the situation.
Yes. I don't like almond milk. I got a coffee one time and I was so excited and I took a little sip and it was almond milk instead of oat milk. And I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me right now. I was pissed.
Instant disappointment, for sure.
Instant disappointment. Yeah, I pretty much, out of the dairy freeze, I think I only like oat milk.
Yeah.
I mean, coconut milk is okay in certain situations.
It like, has its moments, yeah.
It has its time, it has its place. But
like going crazy today. It's fine. It's kind of got like some like 80s volume to it, which I'm not mad about. We love the 80s. Not everything that happened, obviously, but like the fashion and the pop culture was grand. Yes. Yeah, I have heard of Dutch Bros. There's a Dutch Bros like not too far. Well, it's like not in the city that I live in, but like the adjacent city. And everyone always talks about it, but I have never been. One of these days I will make it to a Dutch Bros, but I have heard good things. It's on my radar for sure.
Order ahead.
Yeah, I'm learning that. Yes, it does seem to be quite popping there. So that will be the lesson that I take from that for sure, is to order ahead. Yes. It is. We are here. I went to Horror Nights last weekend. Michael Ann knows this already because we talk, obviously, not just when we were recording this podcast. But for all of you that don't know, I went to Horror Nights last weekend. Had a great time this weekend. We just chillin'. I was telling Michael Ann, I think the more that like crazy shit in the world happens, the more I like Horror Nights, and just like it doesn't bother me. Like I really have been gelling with it a lot more in recent years than when I used to, and I think like that changed during the pandemic, and then even more so now when shit gets crazier and crazier. Like it's just such a good like release and escape, like that controlled fear. And I have to say, since I've gotten home from Horror Nights, it continues. Last night Mike and I tried to go to the movies. The power went out at the movie theater, so that was an epic fail. So we went home and Mike's like, what now? Like, what do you want to watch? And I was like, this is going to sound weird, but can we watch Five Nights at Freddy's? He's like, okay. So I've just been like on a horror kick lately. Not a good movie, by the way. Actually, like I wanted it to be more schlocky. Like I thought it was going to be a little bit more schlocky than it is. And it actually like might take itself a little bit too seriously. And that's my one complaint about it. I wanted more silly, like animatronic antics, to be honest. But it was fine. And then, yeah, I rewatched The Black Phone the other day because the sequel's coming out soon. And this is how bad, like, I am notoriously for having a good memory. And I love The Black Phone when I saw it. It literally, like, Mike and I do a ranking of our, like, top 10 films of every year at the end of the year, like, that we've seen. And it made my top 10, like, it made my, like, top 5 the year that I came out. And I was talking to my friend while we're at Horror Nights about it, because they have like Blumhouse always obviously has a massive presence at Universal because they are affiliated with them. And so they had like this little phone booth with like the grabber and one of the scare zones this year. It's like a little like the sequel's coming out, so they're trying to advertise for it at Horror Nights. And she was talking about it and she's like, yeah, I just like, spoilers for The Black Phone also, by the way, everyone. She's like, yeah, I just don't know how they're gonna do the sequel, because like they kill him at the end of the first movie. And I was like, they did? And then I was like, I love this movie. And I didn't remember a massive plot point, which is that the main antagonist dies at the end of, like, I did not remember that they had killed him. And so I got home from Horror Nights and I was like, hey, Mike, can we watch The Black Phone? And he's like, yeah, sure. Kind of random, but like, all right. And I was like, I don't remember major plot points in this movie, and the sequel's coming out, and I like want to be informed. So last weekend I watched The Black Phone. This weekend I have to watch Five Nights at Freddy's. I think he's concerned about me.
I, first of all, Michael Myers dies at the end of like almost every Halloween movie. Yeah. So
of course, like in the horror genre, you can always bring back the villain. Like that's
yes. Yeah. I've never heard of The Black Phone. I used to be like really into the horror movie scene. And like, I don't know. It's just like, it's like a hyperfixation that kind of fizzled for me.
Yeah.
But also I can't do modern horror, to be honest. Like I just, I'm sorry. Call me a little bitch. Call me whatever you want. I don't want to see old people jumping off of cliffs.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. There are certain things I just can't mess. I like, again, I want like a schlocky. I want a schlocky movie or like a, I don't know, like more of a thriller. Like I wasn't sure I would like The Black Phone originally. Mike had seen it before I did. And he's like, no, I think you'll like this. This is more like thriller. Like it's more like a drama that happens to have horror elements in it. I don't do like the Terrifiers with the gore and whatever, which I understand like Terrifiers kind of schlocky, but I don't do gore. Like that's not my thing. I don't do like haunted house movies. Like that's not really my thing. I don't know why. I just don't like them. But certain things I can get behind. And so I don't know. We'll have to see what other horror movies I can find. To ask Mike, like, hey, can we watch this? And he's gonna be like, who are you and what have you done to my wife? I spoiled, again, I guess you could kind of assume where The Black Phone was ending, but I kind of spoiled, obviously, Massive Point, but I do recommend it to you, Michael, and anyone who hasn't seen it. Again, I would say it's more of like a thriller, like it's more like a psychological thriller, but I think it's really good, really well done. The sister steals the show, in my humble opinion, and all the reviews I've seen about the second one, the sister kind of steals the show as well. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, it's very, and I've also heard about the sequel, which I'm very happy about. And again, I know I'm like, I'm using this as an escape. And then actually it's like very serious stuff, but, you know what drives me crazy about movies is like, okay, so like I was a big fan of both the Hunger Games books and movies, and I still am to this day. But of course, in the movies, like Catching Fire, the book is like amazing. And I think one of the things that Suzanne Collins does really well is she goes into like legitimately how effing traumatic that would be for someone, like a teenager to have experienced that. Again, anyone of any age to have experienced that. She like really goes into like the PTSD of it. And then in the movie, it's like we get a couple scenes, but they're like, we got to get to the plot and we got to get to the love triangle and we got to get to whatever. And I still think that Catching Fire is a good movie. Do not get me wrong. But I was like, one thing that drives me crazy about movies where you put literal kids through hell is when in the next follow-up movie, you're not like, hey, remember how that would be super hella traumatic actually for a developing brain? And so everything that I've heard about The Black Phone 2 so far has been that like they really dig into like the PTSD of it all, like how actually it would be very traumatic for like what these characters went through. And I was like, yeah, thank you, because like it drives me crazy when like they come back for a sequel and, you know, like speaking of Michael Myers, like Halloween, like they come back and Jamie Lee Curtis is like, and the later ones, they kind of got into like her PTSD of it all. But I was like, that would be so traumatic. Like, why would you not? Like, I want it to be, I know like horror isn't meant to be like realistic, but sometimes like I just want you to like, I don't know, if you're doing like a character study to like really break down what the character would be feeling, you know? I don't know.
Have you ever seen the Rob Zombie Halloween movies?
No, I have not. Like, I'm familiar with them, but I haven't seen them. Wait, maybe I saw one of them.
Where do I even begin? They are they are their own thing. Michael Myers Halloween series was my like favorite horror series. I watched it a lot. And I would say they go into some PTSD in those movies.
Okay. All right.
But also they're, I want to say it's not super gory, I don't think, because I've watched it multiple times. Yeah. So there's no way. But it's like very dark, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, sometimes, again, even as I'm using things for escape, I'm like, I want you to really get into the psychological elements of what this would do to someone.
Yes.
That's sort of terrible. I know it makes no sense, but it makes sense in my brain, y'all. Okay. I will say one disappointing thing this year disappointing and not disappointing about Horror Nights this year. Horror Nights is known for their Blinky cups, and this year, no Blinky cup. I'm actually drinking out of my Horror Nights cup from this year. I will say the quality of this cup, like the acrylic, is nicer than the Blinky cup ones are. Like, this is like a nice, like thick, it's a thick acrylic. So the quality is nicer, but the fact that there's no Blinky at the bottom of my cup depresses me. I don't know why they decided to get away with the Blinky cup, but they did. I'm sad about it. Other than that, though, I think it was a good event this year. Food was really good. They had a really good vegan walking taco. We're really into that. The Dead Coconut Club theme I thought was very fun. And yeah, overall, I had a good time and got my spooky on. But officially kicked off the fall equinox with fall-like activities. But yeah, Horror Nights. Bring back the blink. We miss the blink. We love a Blinky cup.
We love the Blinky cups. That's what you guys are known for.
That's what you're known for. It's like pizza fries, Twisted Taters, and Blinky cups are like staples of Horror Nights. And for them to take away one of them, I have some thoughts and feelings. They introduced vegan pizza fries, which again, I love that we are getting more inclusive to our plant-based friends. So that it was exciting. I did not try them, but I hope that they're good for the people that did. I don't know how
vegan cheese is so hard.
Really hard. It's not often good. So I don't have a lot of faith that it was excellent, but I can stand by the vegan walking taco. That was 10 out of 10 for me.
Love that.
Are you going to a screening of the release party, Mabobber?
I did not get tickets to a screening because I was like very depressed when the tickets came out because I don't have any local friends. And I was like, I'm not fucking going to this alone. Big pout.
You could have gone and made a friend. You know what I mean? But I get it. I also would have been like, I don't want to do this alone. Yeah, you could still go. It's going to be out all weekend. Like, I'm sure there's tickets available.
Yeah, first showings are sold out near me, I think, but
I think you should go. I think it'll be fun to go, and yeah, maybe you'll meet some people, can trade some friendship bracelets, live your best life, and even you can still enjoy the show. Like, the movies is one thing. I mean, I can do a lot of things on my own, but the movies is definitely a thing I don't mind doing by myself because I'm like, the whole point is to sit in a dark room and watch a screen. Like, I don't like need to converse with anyone, you know? So it's something that I enjoy going
by myself. But for this, though, it would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nicer to have someone. I agree with that. Yes. Yeah, I was just like stressed out because I was like, it's a game weekend and every Friday night, basically my nephew has baseball and like, let me tell you, my parents do not miss a base. Like, my dad would rather you like give him 5 root canals than like miss a baseball game, like one of his grandchildren's baseball games. So I was like, I know that I'm not gonna be able to talk my mother into not going to the baseball game, but I was like, let's hope, because he either plays at 5:30 or 7:30, and I was like, let us hope that it is a 5:30 game so we can do this after. And thankfully, it is an earlier game, so we get to do both baseball and Taylor. Because, yes, I obviously understand it plays all weekend, but Sunday, I, like, will be heading home. And then I was going to kind of be in the same predicament that I'd be, like, going to see it by myself on a Sunday afternoon. Like, that's not really, like, the most fun thing to do. I would have done it, but I could have probably talked someone into going and seeing it with me. But also then Sunday is like NFL, and I have games to watch. So I was like, Friday is really the only day I can do it, so... Let this work out for me.
I love that for you. I would be asleep in that movie theater.
Because I think I'm going to stay up late on Thursday. Thursday night, I'm going to Bananas game. And then I'm going to come home and the album comes out at midnight. And I was like, do I stay up even though I have work in the morning to like listen to it? but like I feel like I need to listen to it. I've also talked my entire office into wearing either orange or teal. Whether or not they do this, I don't know, because not many people have orange or teal in their wardrobe like I do. But yeah.
I certainly do not.
But I was like, hey guys, if we have to work that Friday, can you all, like, we're celebrating. So let's see. Also, big shout out, everyone, to Michael Ann, a real one, a true friend. The cardigan drop gloves. Everything always drops while I'm at work. Actually, yesterday was like the first time something dropped that I was not working. But I'm poor right now. So I was like, no, Taylor. I already now own a CD, which I didn't want it on freaking CD. It just came in the box set, but whatever. I already bought the vinyl. And now the cardigan came in a box set with CD. So I was like, I'm not buying another CD. Like, cool that it comes with signed pictures, but like, we're not doing it. No. So anyways, I was at work and we had hypothesized that this might be an orange sparkly sweater. And if that was the case, I was obviously going to want it because orange is my color. And I love fall, obviously being a Gator fan, like orange is very Ahsoka Tano, my favorite Star Wars character. Like I have so much orange in my wardrobe. I cannot stress this enough. Again, the only person besides like a prisoner who has this much orange in their wardrobe. And
oh my God.
And you know. And so anyways, of course there's like a countdown and Michael Ann was like had told me like, hey, if anything drops, like I got you, whatever. And then it was the cardigan and she was like, I got you. And I was like, what an absolute queen. So she bought it for me. I paid her back, everyone, just so we're clear, but she purchased it for me. I sent her some money and I was like, you're an absolute legend. Thank you so much. And then I went online that day and everyone was like really hating on this cardigan. And I don't fucking care. I love it. I think it's so pretty. I'm so excited to wear it. I understand that everyone hates orange, but it's one of my favorite colors and I'm so hyped to wear it. And I'm not going to let anyone steal my joy about it. Okay.
Yeah. That was my thing with the car. Okay. Well, first of all, people complain about every single cardigan that comes out.
That's true.
They do have fair arguments. Like for the money we're paying, it should probably be nicer material at 100%.
Least. 100%.
But like who gives a fuck? Get the ones you want. Get the ones you like.
This is the one I wanted.
I am worried that this one's going to be itchy.
Yes, I have seen that concern, and I do get that concern. I'm obviously hoping it's not, but people like bringing up that I thought was a very fair concern. And again, obviously, like it's an insane. Like you buy a $70 thing, and you then have to pay for like shipping and handling. And I do think that that's absolutely absurd. I'm like, that's absurd. Like. Because again, most stores, it's like if you spend over a certain amount of money, you get free shipping. I think that this should be, like a free shipping kind of situation, you know? I think I have enough money, but it's fine. Hey, it's fine.
She's not going to do free shipping. She's not going to sacrifice a dime.
No, not a dime, baby.
Not a dime. That's how she became a billionaire.
Yeah. So that's unfortunate. But again, I was like, this is my one big piece of like merch that I want from this album. She says until something else comes out. No, I'm just kidding. This is my big one. I collect vinyl. So I wanted it on vinyl. It was an orange sparkly vinyl. I had to get it, obviously. And I was like, if the cardigan is orange or orange and sparkly, I want it. And it was. So those are my big purchases. This album ain't getting another dime off of me.
Same.
You ain't get another dime off of me. The only thing that will get another dime off me if a tour is announced with it, then obviously we'll talk then. But
oh my God, dude.
But
I don't think I'm ready.
I'm not ready for that possibility. I just bought Ed Sheeran tickets and I was like, I can, but like, what if, like, my mom was like, hey, do you want to go see Ed in this city as well? And I was like, no, because if Taylor also announces something, like, I don't want to bite off more than I can chew. Like, I need to save money and time off and whatever for the potential of that happening. So I don't know. We wait. Part of me is like, don't do it. My bank account can't handle it. And the other part of me is like, do it. I'm not sure where I land.
When she announced the Eras Tour, I was literally so broke. I was like at one of my lowest, brokest points. I was like, you could be fucking kidding me. But I ended up going twice. And great news, everyone. Exciting news.
Oh, yeah.
I got my Chemical Romance tickets. Woo!
Living the millennial dream.
Yes.
No, that is so exciting. I'm very excited for you. Yes, that's going to be great show.
I saw them when I was 12, and now I'm going to see them at, I'll be 34.
Hells yeah, exactly. A bunch of my friends went to the show in Tampa. They said it was like top tier. Like one of my friends put it in like his like top five concerts of all time. So I think that's really high praise. And he's seen them before. And I mean, he's seen like a bunch of different, like he goes to concerts a lot. So for him to say that was very high praise. But yeah, I guess they're doing the Black Parade album from start to finish is like the whole shtick or whatever. Is that what they're going to continue to be doing? I think. Yes. I don't know.
I believe so.
Okay. And I was like, that's really cool. I really love it when acts do something like that. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, that's what we want to see. Like, we want to see the B-sides. We want to see the stuff we don't usually get to see. So to just do an album from start to finish, I always love when acts do like a tour like that. I think it's really cool.
I think they have some of their classics on the playlist too, like from their first album.
Yeah.
But my friend went to Tampa.
Kind of like take requests. I think like they do the album and then it's kind of like a free for all. Yeah. Like you basically can like, I think people are like holding up signs and they're like, yeah, okay, we'll do that one or like whatever. Like the way that like my friend described it to me is that's what it kind of sounded like the second part of the show, I guess. But I don't know.
Okay. Well, somebody better bring some good signs because I'm going to be up in the nosebleeds, fam. They're not going to see my fucking signs.
You can see my sign.
So I'm pretty sure I'm going to cut that conversation out. But just so y'all know, we decided we are not going to read the book today because we've already been recording for 35 minutes and we have not even gotten to the book yet. And these chapters are pretty beefy, honestly.
Yeah, they are beefy. Like,
they deserve
their time.
Respect. Yeah.
Yeah. They do. This whole book deserves respect, obviously. I mean, every Sarah Dessen novel deserves respect. Obviously, my humble opinion. I don't know. Sorry. We haven't hit y'all with a Gabby episode in a while, and we haven't recorded in a while. So this was just kind of fun to gab with y'all. And then we'll be back with...
Look at this.
It's so cute. So stinking cute. Does it have a name?
Marshmallow.
I love it. This is just us talking about getting tour tickets and Taylor Swift release party tickets and Ethan not having pyrotechnics at his memorial that we're aware of and all that jazz.
I feel like I had more to say about that situation without getting us put on a list.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was like, how can I verbally not say that word? List. Yes, if we get on list. But it's not so much that I want to talk about this incident itself as I want to talk about how fucking weird the aftermath has been.
Yes.
It's been so fucking weird. Like,
it's been a bizarre month of September, to say the least.
The wife, bizarre behavior. I'm sorry. It's bizarre. It's also insane to like, I saw another. So she did that video where she posted, if you guys don't know this, she posted a video on her Instagram of her like rubbing his hands in the casket. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She had like 14 rings on. Not really, but she had a fuck ton of rings on. Okay?
A lot of rings. Oh, there was a lot of bling going on.
I was like, that's crazy. That's like a crazy decision to make. Like, you really woke up and you were like, what's the best way for me to look today? And then I saw a picture from the memorial and she was like wiping tears away and she had like fucking 4 rings on again.
Lots of rings and very like
big. And God.
Big rings. Yeah. Like you won a national championship rings. I know people like a good ring stack. I think like cool girls wear like lots of rings, but they're like dainty. Yes. Like you have like maybe one with a stone in it. And then the rest are very dainty, like cool little pieces. You don't wear 5. Looks like I won a national championship rings. That's not cool girl aesthetic. No, that's just like, I don't know what it is, but I was like, that's a lot. That's it's a choice.
Like, we are in like such a strange timeline. Like,
the strangest timeline.
When I was a kid, I have OCD. When I was a kid, I used to like one of my intrusive thoughts slash things that I would get obsessed with is like being older and having everything be chaos, like the books that I read. And now I'm older and everything is chaos, like the books that I read. And I'm like, oh my God, that's great. And like, obviously marginalized people have been feeling what we're feeling for years, generations.
Forever.
So, you know, obviously I want to acknowledge our privilege in that, but it's so fucking weird, dude. I read a thing today. Can I tell you?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's sending the National Guard to Portland. And he has authorized full force.
What is happening in Portland that we need to be sending the National Guard with full force? Is the Voodoo Donuts line too long? Is that the problem? Like, what could what is happening in Portland? Nothing.
Right. Too many.
Absolutely nothing.
Parking stocks.
Yeah.
I like read that. I'm like, Jesus Christ. It's like war torn Portland. That's what he called it. And then I'm like, it's just like, it's really difficult to be in America right now. And like, we are being straight up lied to and gaslit every fucking day. Fucking day, multiple times a day. And it's like impossible to not feel absolutely insane. Like, insane. And then you talk to people who are like, I don't even know. He was a father. Okay. You know, there's 1,200 missing detainees from Alligator Alcatraz. Probably fathers. Just gonna say.
Yeah.
But, you know,
everything's just real. I don't know. It's really crazy. Absolutely insanity. I don't know what's up with all the we're sending the National Guard to like every city. I don't like, again, it's just very, very dystopian for sure. Like, I was like, I've read this story 1,000 times. I'm waiting for the teenager, the chosen one, to stand up and fight back, I guess. No, I'm just kidding about that part. But but it's very dystopian. I do love the people who are like, I can't really think like the right word. Like, I don't. Being like civil disobedience, like causing like good trouble, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, you're technically not doing anything wrong, but you are like trying to like I love the one TikTok account that is just like basically follows the National Guard around DC with the Imperial March playing and absolutely drives these people crazy. But you have every legal right to do that. Like, there's nothing that says you can't do that. Like, all you're doing is playing music and happen to be walking behind them. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But I love that like little like, I was like, yes, more people like that. And more just like, you know, that it's pissing these people off. And also my favorite like videos when they like come up on my like FYP or whatever is the definitely like the members of the National Guard who like are Star Wars nerds and kind of like smile for a minute and then realize that they shouldn't be smiling because they're being filmed and are like, fuck, gotta be serious, go be serious. And it's so funny for me because I'm like, you even have to admit that that's fucking funny. Okay, it's funny.
It is so crazy to me how many right-wing people I know who read fantasy books and watch movie. It's like, do you have any fucking critical thinking? What do you think you're reading?
Exactly? You said the other day about someone you know getting really excited for Wicked, the new Wicked trailer dropped, and obviously, you know, For Good coming out this fall. And it is absolutely insane to me that people love that musical and don't understand the fucking plot of it. I'm like, you don't understand who the wizard is? Do you not understand who the wizard is? Like, that blows my mind. Star Wars, so many, again, not, but yeah, so many right-wing people. And I'm like, do you understand who the Empire is? Like, do you not get that?
Literally Nazis.
Yeah, it's literally Nazis. Literally, the costume designer designed their uniforms to look like Nazis. I don't understand how you don't get that. But yeah, just like so much stuff that I'm like, how did we watch the same movie or read the same book and take completely different messaging from it? I will never understand, especially when like the author of the content is always like, yeah, this is what it means. And then they're like, no, not to me.
Right. Wild. Right. Absolutely, it's so weird. Like, there's a specific Republican that I know, who used to be my really good friend. So I still follow her on social media. And she goes to like a book club where they read The Throne of Glass. I'm like, right. What are you fucking talking about?
What are you getting out of this?
Like, what are you saying to each other? Like, are you just not relating this to like, how can you read something and not relate it to the world? Like, I'm just, I blown away by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. Every time I dress, you know what? Also, speaking of, this is related, but unrelated. I had this thought the other day because there's been this like renaissance of Twilight, which you have never read or seen.
No, I have been.
Okay, you've read them. You've never seen the movies, correct? Okay. Right. There's been this like renaissance lately of like Twilight love. I don't know, like kind of in an ironic way, but also in a very genuine way. Like some people that are like our age that grew up with it, or like they kind of went away from it for a little bit because it's, you know, quote unquote problematic. But are coming back to it and being like, you know what, like it is, and I can understand the problems with it, but I can also still enjoy it. And then also the younger generation, I think it kind of started liking it ironically and are now just genuinely enjoying it. But anyways, it's wild to me, y'all. Wait, it's wild. I'm not saying that Stephanie Meyer is a perfect person. She is not, by far. And I'm not, like, she wrote some things. I think there's a lot she needs to apologize for, things that she wrote, obviously, mostly to Indigenous people. I think she needs to apologize because of the Quileute tribe and all that. But whatever. Again, but then on the other hand, you can also say, like, it's nice that a lot of Indigenous people were able to get acting roles in these movies. I don't know. That's kind of nice, I guess. That doesn't negate the bad. But I'm just saying, at least a lot of people got some choices to be in big budget Hollywood films that they may not have. But anyways, not the point. The point is, Stephanie Meyer is obviously a problematic person. I mean, all people are problematic. I'm a problematic person. Everyone is problematic in their own way. But, you know, this Mormon lady who wrote these books that everyone was like tearing apart, it's so funny to me that like when all is said and done, she has come out smelling like roses compared to J.K. Rowling, because she did exactly what you're supposed to fucking do when you go gangbusters and write this like crazy worldwide phenomenon. She wrote it. She wrote like one other book, and then she disappeared, and that's great. Like, she comes out every once in a while for a Twilight con. She's self-deprecating about it. Like, she's like, yeah, I under, like, when people point out like stupid shit in these books, she'll be like, yeah, I wanted to. Like, she doesn't explain it away or be like, well, no, actually, in my world building, this makes sense. She's just like, yeah, no, it makes no sense. I get it makes no sense, but like, for the plot, I just like it, just I wanted to, you know. And like, I love that. Like, I love that she's just like out there in her little Mormon life. And no one has to hear from her ever, except for, again, when she, like, comes out to talk about Twilight, nothing else, and just, like, does her thing, and then she disappears with her millions. And, like, thank you. Thank you so much for that. And, like, now that I've said this, probably, like, next week, something's going to come out that she said that was problematic. But I just randomly thought about this the other day, because my TikTok was all full of, like, all right, sorry. But, yes, this thought came to me as people, as fall was hitting, all started doing the trend of they're making fun of what they thought the lyrics of the song Let Me Sign by Robert Pattinson is, because he is singing in full cursive in that song. I love that song. But I 100% think this trend is so funny, because I'm like, you're right. You cannot discern what he is actually saying in this music. But yeah, I was just like, thank you, Stephanie Meyer, for like, I never have to hear from you. And that's so nice. Thank you so much. Thank you for like not being on social media, talking mad shit about stuff. I'm sure you have some messed up beliefs or whatever, but thank you for never sharing it with anyone. Keep it that way, please, for the love of God. We don't need to know. We don't need to know. Yeah, I just like, PSA, if you are a hella famous author who, again, strikes it big with some crazy worldwide phenomenon, coming of age, whatever story that makes these big blockbuster movies, we don't ever need to hear from you again. Thank you so much. ride off into the sunset with your billions. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure like Suzanne Collins is great, but honestly, I don't, probably don't need to hear from you either. Like stay away. Just everyone stay away. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Obviously we all know how I feel about J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
Brain empty,
heart full.
I agree. Imagine if J.K. Rowling just took her billions of dollars and shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. It would have been so nice. What a, you know, again, in the grand scheme of things going on in the world, is it the most pressing matter that this woman is going off about things when other people are saying worse things and whatever? Well, they're not saying worse things. She's kind of saying really shitty things. But it doesn't help when a really influential person says really shitty things. It certainly doesn't help the matter.
She's also using her wealth.
And also using her hella money to do really shitty things with. So
So it's
not great.
Pretty fucking bad.
It's pretty, it's bad. I would say up there on the bad meter, pretty fucking bad is like right there, like right by the top of bad. Our world leaders maybe being the only people that are doing bad things that are worse than her.
They should hang out maybe with that other guy who's dropping bombs on children, has been for 2 years.
Yeah.
Three years.
I don't know. Time is an illusion at this point.
Time is an illusion and it's been too fucking long. Okay. That's what I gotta say about that.
Yeah. Any amount of years or months really is a big no-no on dropping bombs on children, in my humble opinion. That might be a bold take. I don't know. This might be a controversial episode. It shouldn't be controversial, and yet.
We don't have the same people in our, I'm sure there's not a lot of overlap between like Republicans and people who listen to this podcast.
Yes. I think we've weeded them out probably very early on into the recording of this show. I think from like day one, we were pretty clear on where we stood politically in our views in the world and all that kind of stuff. But
I keep wanting to talk about something specific and it keeps falling out of my brain.
I'm very excited for...
I don't remember.
Wicked. I also understand the plot, though. I also understand who the wizard in this story is and who...
Oh my god. I know what the fuck I was trying to talk about. I feel like we were talking earlier about how that guy follows them around and playing the song from Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Literally every time I open the phone, it gets more fucking disturbing. Hmm. Every time.
Huh.
What was I saying? Oh yeah. This is like really time for like white people to like get up. Start giving a shit about other groups, especially all of the fucking white people who, when somebody was shot recently and died, they haven't talked about anything political on their social media. Nothing about the genocide, nothing about the ICE kidnapping people, nothing. And then all of a sudden they're on Facebook and Instagram being like, if you're celebrating this guy's death, you're a piece of shit. It's like, actually, I think you're fucking telling on yourself right now, because why is this the only thing in the past since 2016 that you have decided to put on the internet? Like, fuck yourself. So I wanted to read a quote actually by... I'm actually going to pronounce her name wrong. Let me actually look it up so I don't do that. Okay. So the internet's not telling me. So I'm going to say it's Asada. Shakur. She died recently. She was a activist her whole life. She died like yesterday, I think, 2 days ago. And if you don't care, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But she said, here we go. She says, as far as I'm concerned, liberal is the most meaningless word in the dictionary. History has shown me that as long as some white middle-class people can live high on the hog, take vacations to Europe, send their children to private schools, and reap the benefits of their white skin privilege, then they are liberal. But when times get hard and money gets tight, they pull off that liberal mask and you think you're talking to Hitler. They feel sorry for the so-called underprivileged just as long as they can maintain their own privileges. Let that quote sit with all of you for a little while. Reflect on your life, your choices, where you're putting your energy. We are in like the least amount of danger.
Right.
So like we're like, if anybody should be harassing them in the streets, it's white people. So right.
Yeah, exactly. And that is, yeah, 100%. Obviously agreeance. Yeah. Like obviously thanks to the privileges that are given to us with the color of our skin. yeah, of course this person who runs this TikTok is white and like, they've, you know, kind of mentioned that like I can do this because like, they're not gonna, you know, obviously like come for me. But yeah, exactly. Like if there's a time to be a little civil disobedient, that's going to come from people with our skin color, obviously, because we're afforded that privilege, unfortunately. So 100%. Yeah. And that quote also made me think about, I saw this like post kind of, with that same sentiment about like, you know, a lot of people will say that, you know, they don't understand like these politicians, like how someone like Barack Obama can like sit next to Trump and like joke around with him and whatever, when like you have such like differing views and whatever. And it's like, yes, because you get to a certain point in life, if you are a celebrity, if you have a certain amount of money in your bank account, which again, like, you know, I've seen you posting a lot recently, Mike Land, about this, is it's not like a right versus left, it's a class war. Like, and that's what like more people need to understand. It's like, because for them, it doesn't really fucking matter. Like I 100% that Barack Obama believes these things, you know what I mean? Like I don't think that he literally is like, I'm secretly a Republican and I'm just like, I thought it'd be easier to get elected as a Democrat. Like, I don't think that. Like, I think that he legitimately holds these beliefs in his heart, but these things don't affect him the same way that it affects someone who, you know, again, obviously he came from Chicago, whatever, worked his way up, but there are still people that live in the, you know, and the city that he used to represent and the district that he used to represent, that they don't have those privileges. Like the things that they believe they live and die by because they don't have a certain amount of money. And that's true for, you know, obviously not just, again, I was using that as an example because people are like, I never understand how like you can see these politicians sit next to each other and crack jokes and whatever. And it's like, because at the end of the day, it doesn't really affect them. Like these policies that they are enacting. And again, like celebrities, the same thing. Like so many people lately have been like debating on whether or not Taylor Swift is going MAGA and whatever. I personally think no, but I also believe that like, she's a billionaire. These things don't actually affect her at the end of the day. I think in her heart of hearts, she really wants, you know, better for people. I think she really wants gay rights and this and the other thing. But at the end of the day, it's not affecting her because her bank account, like whatever, like she can go like rub elbows with someone who doesn't have the same beliefs as she does because it doesn't really affect her at the end of the day. And I think that that's what like a lot of people need to realize. Again, even with Jimmy Kimmel coming back and certain things in his monologue, people were like, I don't know how you could say that and whatever. And it's like, because he's fucking rich. Like at the end of the day, these things, yes, like his show being canceled, yeah, it affected him. But like, again, how he even said in his monologue, this person and this person, you know, reached out to me and were ready to give me a job, but that doesn't support my staff. Like, yeah, sure, I'm fine. Jimmy Kimmel was always going to be fine. All the people that work behind the scenes that you don't know that aren't millionaires are the people that were affected the most by that. And again, like he brought up in his monologue as well, because of course I watched it, you know, everyone did. And you know, all the journalists that are, if we're talking about the First Amendment, there's so many, and again, these journalists are not people that are big celebrities. They're not people that are making gobs of money and their voices are being silenced. And it's like, you need to pay attention to both. And you need to understand that like, even if you think that you politically align with a certain celebrity or a certain politician, you're going to be disappointed by them a little bit because things like this don't affect them the way that they affect you and I, who are actually, you know, normal citizens who don't have the wealth that they've accumulated, you know, plain and simple. And again, right. not to say that they don't have their own problems. I can never be famous. That's a whole nother story. But yeah, I just, it's, yeah, again, I don't know. I feel like I lost the plot there, but use your white privilege for good if you can. And remember that at the end of the day, it's actually a class war. Okay.
And I just want to point out too, I believe personally,
yeah,
that the politics of Democrats and the politics of Republicans are actually not that different.
Right. And for years, basically, they would have felt comfortable saying that. Now, of course, I feel like they're like, oh, we kind of can't say that because like the country has gotten quote unquote so divided. But like, essentially, if you really look at what Republicans and what Democrats have done over the years, again, do I think Democrats are the lesser of two evils? Yeah, I'm going to continue voting for them as we're stuck in this two-party system. I obviously like, I would like it if there was someone who was more, I don't know, like leftist out there to like actually be a likely candidate in our country. But I don't know if and when that'll ever happen. I don't know.
It's tough because, first of all, where do I want to start? So a couple points. My first point is, I don't think we're going to get a Democrat elected anytime soon because the people that are left-leaning are like not trying to vote for these people. And I understand, honestly, to be honest, like Kamala Harris in her book was like, I knew that I would be more popular if I spoke out on Gaza, but I didn't because I love Israel. And I'm licking their balls. That's not really what she said. But that is basically like what she said.
Like what it boiled down to, yeah.
Like we all vote yes for more arms for Israel. So right. like at the end of the day, it's like, are you really that much different? Like, okay, so you right. like gay people sometimes? Okay. Yeah. But I think it's also important to be paying attention to those lower level politicians that are starting to come out in droves who are actually good. Like we have Zohran Mahdami in New York City.
Yeah.
I just found another guy out of Maine. There is another woman who is running now. I don't have their names on me and I'll put them on the screen here. But yeah, like I feel like I'm just coming to the realization that like, unless Democrats like actually aren't right wing, like we're just fucked forever. Not forever, but I mean like we are in a bad spot. But that's why we should be paying attention to these other politicians because they're the future and the present.
Yes, the present and the future. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't stress enough. I think local elections are so important. And I think, I don't know. We need to hopefully people on the up and coming are better than the current, you know,
facts.
what we currently have. I don't know. I guess I'm an optimist, but I'm always like, you know, I don't think all hope is lost ever. Like I do think again, like so many countries have been through hell, are currently going through hell again and whatever. And so many people have great character development, you know, and like maybe we'll be one of those countries that has great character development. I really hope I see it in my lifetime. But even if I don't, we'll be really happy for future generations who hopefully have it better than us. Again, I'm always about like, we need to keep going forward. I'm a very nostalgic person in so many ways, but when it comes to like the state of the world, I've never been nostalgic. I'm never like, I wish we could go back to the 50s. No, again, great fashion, great music, everything else fucking sucked. We need to keep moving forward. Like everything, if I could build a time machine, it would be to go to the future to see that hopefully things are better. I have no interest in going back. Like, no, thank you. So this whole, like, you know, we need to go back to what we had or whatever, when men were men and women were women. I don't really understand any of that whatsoever. But yeah, nope. I don't know.
Also, when you are being fed messages by politicians, it's important to think of a couple questions. The first question I would ask yourself is, who is benefiting from this? So, like, Republicans will come to you and they'll be like, people on welfare are the problem. So fuck right. welfare. It's like, okay, who benefits from us cutting welfare?
Right.
It's not people on welfare. So it's obviously the richest of us, like everything. And then also look at like the reality of the situation. Like, for example, the wife with the pyrotechnics in the rings, it speaks on women should be in the home, women should be in the home. She has 3 college degrees. She's mm-hmm. like, she runs multiple businesses. Like, give me a break, you know, yeah. like,
really, like, any trad wife, like anyone who makes yes. a living off of like, quote unquote, trad wife content or whatever, you're making a living off of it. So you're not like, what you are preaching is not actually what you want. Like, that has never made any sense to me. Any sense.
Exactly.
And then you have all these people wanting to follow you. And it's like, yeah, but you're not going to live the same life as these people you're aspiring to be, because they are making millions of dollars off of this.
Exactly.
And you are not going to be making millions of dollars off of this. You're just going to be like on your farm, milking your cow, being miserable, homeschooling your children or whatever. No shame. If that's what you want to do is homeschool your children, by all means, cool, cool, cool. But you know what I mean? Like, these people being like, oh, yes, this like, you know, soft life aesthetic and whatever. And it's like, yeah, we all wish we didn't have to work. But like, I just don't.
Why don't we like,
I don't get that.
The fundamental systems in place.
Yeah.
That make it impossible for us to live lives that aren't completely centered around work.
Right. Exactly.
And productivity. And
yeah, output. I think both men and women shouldn't have to completely yeah. be focused on work all the time. Again, this capitalistic hellscape that we live in, it's like you can't escape it. But
yeah,
but wouldn't it be nice if you could? Like, I don't, like, it's just, it's crazy to me. And again, like, these people being like, wouldn't it be nice, you know, the nuclear family is dead or whatever. And it's like, and they blame it on women's entering the workforce. And it's like, no, that wasn't the problem. The problem is the cost of living went up to where you cannot afford, like, both family members do have to work or you can't sustain living and be able to feed your 3 children that you've had or whatever. And yeah, and again, it's just like, it's this weird, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine last weekend and she has terrible mom guilt, which every mom basically that I know says terrible mom guilt because they are working all the time. And then they also, they feel like they're always missing out on one. Like, either I'm not doing a good job at work or I'm not doing a good job at home. And I was like, and that's because society put it all on you. Like, the second they decided to let women enter the workforce, they were like, but no, you can't lack on your other things. It's supposed to be like a team. You're supposed to be a team and they're both parents. And yet, like, the things that she's saying about herself or the things that people are telling her, no one would tell her husband. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, that's not fucking fair. Like, none of that is fair that you are expected to enter the workforce, but then also still do all of the things that you're supposed to do when, again, that person didn't work. How did this happen? Like, how did we, like, thank you, our sisters, our abolitionists, you know, back in the day, who are suffragettes back in the day, who fought for our right to be able to work and get a credit card and vote and all of that. Like, I appreciate you. But someone really dropped the fucking ball when it came to, but then you're also still going to be expected to do everything that you did at home kind of situation. And it's like, that's not fair. Like, no guy is ever told, like, it's like, I don't know, the whole thing.
Free labor.
Pisses me off. Yeah. Free labor. Yes. So much free labor. Women work 2 full-time jobs. Like, any mom works 2 full-time jobs, and you cannot tell me otherwise.
Agreed.
And like, men just don't. And again, obviously I understand there are certain
not people all men.
That, yes, you know, not all men that actually have really whatever. But again, the fact that still as a society, we consider men babysit their kids is fucking wild to me. You're not babysitting your kid. That's your fucking kid.
Like, right.
You equally agree to these terms and conditions of having a child, which means you equally agree to what it means to rear that child. I personally think, unfortunately, not a lot of people live in that situation. And that's, I just think, is absolutely ludicrous to me.
And I want to ask you, not you, I want to ask society, in general, like women particularly, and white women particularly, to be honest. Does your husband respect you as a person?
Mm-hmm.
Like, does he respect you fundamentally as a human being? Or right. does he just see you as a wife and a mother?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. how does he treat you? How does he treat your children? Is he helpful? Does he give a shit? Is he just gone all the time? I just think it's like, I think white women are hurting themselves by,
yeah.
let first of all, subscribing to the Republican mindset, because then they are in their home and it's like, you don't have any power there anymore. Like you, right. the point is for you to be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, remember that. Like, even the point of the wife is if they had their way, she would be nothing.
Right.
She would just be a mother. So like, yep. not just be a mother, but you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So it's,
yeah, it's absolutely. And then like, how are you meant to, again, you know, like have any kind of, it's like this weird, and then God forbid, again, talking about like the mom guilt of it all. So you're torn between work, family life, whatever. And then also you're basically told that you're selfish if you ever yes. just like want a night off, if you ever want to go see a movie with a friend, or if you ever want to, whatever. And I just can't, the fact that people live like that boggles my fucking mind. Like I like every, like, again, the way my friend was talking the other day, I literally, one of our favorite catchphrases on this show, I want to be like, run. I think you should run. Like, I think if my husband ever talked to me like that, I would be out the fucking door. Again, not trying to tell anyone how to live their life, but yeah, I was just like, that sounds terrible actually. And I could never, but yeah.
It's definitely important to love and respect yourself.
Yeah.
So that you are letting people into your life that loves and respects you. And I know that, like, especially when we were younger and like generations before us, like the thing was like, you have to get married, you have to have kids, and then you mm-hmm. have to stay together for those kids.
Mm-hmm.
I just like, don't think that is necessarily true. Like, yes, right. you are kind of changing their life up, but also like, they're gonna be better off for it, because yeah. first of all, they're not gonna see that behavior displayed in the house. So if there's a daughter, right. she's not going to be seeing like, okay, this is how men are supposed to treat women, because that's what they're seeing,
right?
And the sons are seeing, this is how I treat women.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's just like, be so fucking for real about who your husband is. And obviously, like, we're not talking about women who are like abused, and if they leave, they're gonna die. But right. like, that's a different situation. I'm talking about just regular degulars.
Yeah.
Around.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. Yeah, I think. Yeah, obviously, it's all of it is tough. Like, it's so crazy to me, like, when people talk about like the dating world to me. Like I and again, like, I understand that a lot of people, yes, in life, like, their goal is to find like their match. I kind of obviously grew up like, again, my parents are high school sweethearts. I thought that that's what you did, whatever. And then it wasn't until I kind of hit my 20s that I was like, I'm saying I'd like to get married by this age and do this and do this. But like, I think I'm just saying that because it's like, that's what society expects you to do. And right. I generally have no desire to do that. Like, I, again, me at like 22, I was like, I fucking couldn't be married right now. I can be somebody's whole ass wife. Like, that's a wild concept. I can barely take care of myself. And I kind of stopped putting that pressure on myself. And I was like, no, like, if it happens, it happens, cool. But it's not going to diminish who I am as a person or the life that I'm going to lead, or, you know, whatever. And it really, like, I did have a hard time. Like, I grappled with that a lot in my early 20s, like feeling like a failure, because I was like, I don't know if that's for me. I don't know if that's something that I want. And everyone around you wants it. And, you know, and you're just like, and they're like, I'm on this app, I'm doing this, I'm going out to this event so I can meet people. And I was like, that just sounds so exhausting to me. And again, I'm not shading anyone for doing that. If that's something you want to do, cool, cool, cool. It just seemed so exhausting to me. And it made me feel like a failure, because I was like, this is what people are supposed to do. Like, you're supposed to want it. Like, I'm in, you know, like my prime years as a woman in my 20s, I need to go out and find me a man. And I grappled with that for a long time. And then finally I was like, I'm good. And of course it sounds so weird now, because when I'm talking to my friends who aren't married as a married woman, and they're like, oh, you've been and worked out for you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, it quote unquote worked out for me, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. But again, I really like, I want to stress this so much. And I also would like to say, I obviously love my husband so, so much. But if I wasn't married today, I would think I would be equally as happy. Like, obviously, now that I know my husband and we are married, if that were to fall apart, or something, God forbid, were to happen to one of us, like, I would, you know, that would be a whole different story. But if I would have never met this man and I was just continuing on my life, I think I would have been completely fine. Like, I think, like, if I was still single today, I wouldn't, whatever. Like, I never had any desire to go, like, search it out. It was like, if this happens organically, awesome. And if it doesn't, like, awesome. And I think that that's so hard to, like, break with, like, that societal pressure, even if you, again, like, I didn't grow up in a house where my parents were like pushing me to get married or were asking me whatever, but like any family event that I went to, like a baby shower or a bridal shower for one of my sisters, whatever, and I'd be like, so are you seeing anyone? And I was like, I fucking hate this conversation. No, no, I am not. And I remember in a weird way feeling relieved when I had an engagement ring on my finger and I could go to one of these events, because I was like, they'll stop fucking asking me now. And that's terrible. Like, that's a terrible thing that I felt, well, that relief. But like, now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now it's like, do you have kids? Do you have my kids? And then I got back the day I got back from my honeymoon to work. A chef that I worked with was asking me when we were planning to have children. I was like, we just finished our honeymoon. And then what's your fucking, why are men so obsessed with women's bodies? I don't understand. It's so weird. It's so weird. She's lost it. She had it and she's lost it.
Okay, hold on. We were just talking about the chef and the baby. Oh, that's another part of the, like, feeling like a failure too. I feel like in your 20s is you, like, if you are like me and you don't want children, like, my whole life I was just told, you have children. That's what you do.
Yeah.
You get married, you have children. So my whole life I've just been like, yeah, no, sure, definitely children. But I actually don't want children. And that was hard to, like, grapple with as well. And yeah, like, I spent my whole youth basically thinking that the most important thing that I had to do immediately was find a life partner and get married.
Yeah.
And I rushed a relationship into an engagement because of that. And thank fucking God I did not marry that person. But how many people did marry that person? You know?
Right. Exactly. Far too many, unfortunately. I think it's wild that anything on social media I post with my husband gets the most likes. That makes me feel like a lesser human being. It's fine.
Oh, God.
Any birthday message to him, I always get the most likes on Instagram. Anything to do with our wedding was the most. And I get it. Like, when I see someone's engaged or I see, I love a wedding photo, y'all. I'm not going to judge someone for liking a wedding photo. I totally get it. But anything that I've ever posted with Mike gets more likes than if I just post it myself. And that doesn't make you feel like shit or anything.
Yes. It's like, Taylor Swift got more likes on her engagement post than her post about her getting her master's back.
Yeah.
And she's well aware of that, I think. She's making a point.
Like, that's, it's wild. Again, it'll happen to the most successful people.
It's like, no matter where a woman gets in life, the most important accomplishment is getting married, getting engaged.
Yeah. Yeah.
And having children.
And having, like, children. And that's so crazy to me. And again, like, I understand people wanting to share in these experiences. And I was super excited to post my engagement, and I was super excited to post my wedding photos. Again, y'all know I love dressing up. And that day is literally all about you dressing up like you've never dressed up before. So I was all about it. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, it is. It's still a mind boggling concept to me that, like, no matter what a woman does, like, her getting engaged or her getting married is always going to be, like, the most liked thing. Like, yeah, again, like, that's just, yeah, it's
crazy. Yeah. Absolutely. I also feel like, I don't think anyone in my family listens to this podcast, but if you guys do, then sorry. I also feel like the way my parents treated me changed once I got engaged to a man. Mm. Once I got engaged the second time to a cisgender man. Their behavior towards me changed as well. Like I was like, I kind of became like someone they're like constantly worried about and like protecting to like an adult. And it's like, yeah. Oh, this is because I have a man now, isn't it?
Yeah. I remember thinking also, this is like a weird like society thing. I was obviously a full-fledged adult. I was paying my own rent. I was doing my own thing. But on the day that like Mike proposed, I remember saying that to him at one point. I was like, this is the most adult I've ever felt in my life. And I obviously at the time didn't unpack all of that, but like later in life, I unpacked that. And I was like, that's fucking wild to me that like, that's how like ingrained it is in you. Like, I just remember like looking down my hand and being like, this is the most adult I've ever felt in my whole life. And in a sense too, even on like the first time Mike introduced me as his wife, or I can introduce him as my husband, like I just felt very adult, and I don't know why that is. I do know why that is, society. But like, no matter. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to say like, it'll get to you again. Like I literally just said, like, I can't trust enough. I was totally okay with never getting married in my life. And yet still, as someone who now is a married woman, the fact that I can say things like my husband always makes me feel very like, I'm an adult.
Dude, same. Same. I went to a work event with Andrew and he kept introducing me as his wife. And I was like,
ooh, that's so weird.
I'm a child bride.
Yeah. I saw a post the other day that was like two 30-year-old teenage parents bringing their kid home. And it's like, yeah, like in your mind, you are always like, no matter like what age you do things, like even though you're considered older to be doing it or whatever, you will always feel like a teenager. You're like, I'm not equipped to handle this. How can I possibly? When people are like, do you have kids? Because again, the second they know you have a husband, I went to a dentist appointment yesterday. I said something. You know, they asked about like why we moved to whatever. And then she's like, do you have kids? Which again, is just like small talk, normal conversation. I expected at this point, I live in the Southeast, you know, whatever. And I was like, oh, just a fur baby. And then she's like, oh my God. And we like, and she had it as a dog too. And we ended up talking about their dog. She's like, I have two sons, but honestly, the dog might be my favorite. He doesn't talk back. And I was like, respect that, ma'am. So it was, you know, totally lovely conversation. It was normal. I like lost the whole plot of what my point of thought was, to be honest. What were we saying right before this? I don't know. It's happening to both of us today. We're both just losing it. We're thriving.
There's so much
with the conversation of,
I feel like
being asked if you have kids or not.
We like start a conversation and like both of our brains go to like so many different places that we're just like, I'm just like, where do I start
about this thing that pisses me off? Yep, I don't know. It's left me now entirely, but I'm going to like listen back to this episode and listen to the first train of thought that I had and be like, oh, where I was trying to go with it was there, but I lost it. This episode has truly been all over the place.
It's all over the place.
I would apologize, but as females, we do that too much and we're working on it collectively to not apologize as much anymore. So I'm not sorry. There's been a lot going on. We've had a lot of thoughts and feelings. Again, we sat down to record about the book. This is where we've ended up.
And now we're talking about society's view of women.
Society's view of women and how much it ticks me off sometimes. But yet how I also will fall into the trap because I can't help it because I have done nothing but live in this society my whole life. So how are we meant to not fall into the trap, you know? But here we are falling into the trap.
Here we are.
Oh, yes. It be like that sometimes, y'all. It's rough out there. To surmise, we should probably wrap this episode up.
Yes.
Being a woman is just really fucking wild all the time. It's hard. We are privileged, though, because we at least are white women. So again, we would just like to say, as we kind of mentioned earlier, of all times, if you're a white person, this is the time to stand up. You're friends and family members who do not share the same privilege that you do because of the color of your skin would really appreciate it. So whatever you can do to do now is the fucking time. Okay. And also We'll be back to talk silly light things like the new Taylor Swift album, because again, you got to find the joy and the hope where you can in this world. And we will be back to discuss more of this novel with y'all real soon. Until then, keep on keeping on, make good trouble. And
also, even if your family and friends aren't a different color than you,
you should just like do it.
Just do some
for the goodness of
people. What makes you better than somebody who doesn't look like you? Like, there's work that white people can do instead of just getting like immediately defensive and being like, I'm not racist.
Yes.
Why
do you jump to that immediately?
Sit down just for a little while. Look at where we are. Think about how we got here, because it wasn't by giving trans people rights. Okay.
Truth. Very much truth on that front. Yes.
Yeah, I could keep going on and on and on, so we should wrap this up.
We're going to wrap this up before we get on our next random heated debate that goes so far that we don't even know where we went with it. Yes. Okay. Love yourselves. Love other people. Take care of yourselves. Take care of other people. And we will chat real soon.
Chat soon. Bye.
Bye. I do not want to play that. No.